Greet you, saints, in the name of the Lord. I'm using a different approach and different style of doing things this morning than I have in the past. It looked the same at the beginning, but you'll see it's beginning to change a little bit. We'll just see whether the Lord blesses it or not. I have a goal in mind, and I just want to go in that direction. But we need some scriptures in our mind first before we go in that direction. So if you'd open your Bibles to Matthew, we'll start in verse 23. And then we'll just read two places in 23 and 24, and then just hold your Bible open. We'll have a word of prayer, and then you can be seated, and then we'll continue on. Matthew 23, 39. For I say unto you, you shall not see me henceforth till you say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. 24, verse 3. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, and the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? And so hold your place. We're going to go back to that in just a moment. Lord Jesus, my prayer all morning has been, take me fully into your grasp, Lord. And if we're approaching this in the right way, then bless it. If we're not, then just change my direction, for this is going to be a little bit different this morning than we've done in the past. But I feel you put it on my heart, and we'll just watch and see what happens. May you bless your saints this morning, Lord. May the lost be saved, the sick be healed, and those in bondage be delivered. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. As we look at these end-time scriptures, and we're going to be touching many things, that's why the picture is on the board up there, that we'll be touching on a lot of things that that you may or may not be familiar with. So those of you that are local, if you want to write out a question and give it to a deacon, or email me at the questions email up there, and we'll kind of take it from there. In Matthew 23, 39, where it says, that you won't see me anymore until you say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. We find that God, Jesus, has given the Jews three untils. And if you've got a Scofield Bible, you'll notice he brings them out right down in footnote number one. He says, Israel must say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. And then the Gentile world powers must run their course. And then the elect number of Gentiles must be called in. So you got the picture now. The first, before they can receive him, they got to be ready to say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. And then the Gentile world powers, which we'll touch on in just a moment, must run their course, because God has said from this time to this time, the Gentiles will rule the world. And then during that period of time, then in that same period of time, there's an elect people who must hear what God has done in each of their ages. And here we are in the last one. So these things have to be fulfilled, the untils, until and before God turns his attention back to the Jews again. And then the three questions that they ask him that he's going to answer in Matthew 24, 3. And they says, tell us, when shall these things be? What shall be the sign of thy coming and the end of the world? So we've got three questions. And so if we were to read the next set of scriptures carefully, we would see that there are three things that he is answering. And so we won't take the time to go into that by detail, because that's not our study. Our study is, this is the end time. And I want to emphasize the points that are taking place here at the end time. So we're going to watch then. Jesus has already laid us out a format. Now back just a little bit further forward now into Luke chapter 21. Luke 21. Just a few more end time scriptures. Speaking of Israel, and they shall fall by the edge of the sword, and shall be led away captive into all nations, and Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles, until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. Times of the Gentiles. So that's that long period of time. They were already in the times of the Gentiles as world rulers. And the times of the Gentiles started with King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon, a Gentile who was given authority over the world. And it goes all the way to the culmination of things when God turns back to the Jews again. And we'll touch on what will be the sign at that time also. So Jerusalem's going to be trodden down by the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. Many say that Jerusalem is no longer trodden down by the Gentiles, and they want to hold to that because Israel seems to hold the land. But rest assured, if the Gentiles didn't have some influence in Jerusalem, that mosque would not be sitting on the holy place. So consequently, the Gentile, in this case, the Palestinians and Muslim people do have an influence. Gentiles do have an influence, so it's not totally under their control yet. Verse 29 now, also in Luke 21. And he spake to them a parable, behold, a fig tree. And if we were to go back and trace it out, the fig tree is always Israel. So behold Israel and all the trees. So therefore, there's going to be something happening now, and it's going to lay out something for us in just a moment. So watch Israel and all the trees. And when something is happening in Israel, something is going to be happening in all the trees. Are you with me so far? So therefore, I titled this sermon this morning 1948, because if God restored a nation in 1948, then we have to see around that other things symbolizing the other trees that are also coming to maturity at the same time. Because God always just pulls all the facts of life, guides everything right to a certain climax. And of course, he's gathered the Jews back to Israel for the very fact of turning grace back to them again. We're still got grace to us Gentiles right now, but one day it'll be turned off. So it says, now behold the fig tree and all the trees, when they now shoot forth, you see and know of yourselves that summer is nigh at hand. The symbolism is very simple. The tree has gone through a long winter of dormancy, and now springtime comes and it's beginning to shoot forth. When spring comes, you know summer is about to follow. So therefore, Israel has finished its long winter of dormancy, and it's budded forth now, and now it has to come forth in a fullness of tree. Verse 31, so likewise ye, when you see these things come to pass, know that the kingdom of God is nigh at hand. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. Now gathering more end time scripture so that we won't have to keep flipping later, go back to the book of Daniel now, chapter 12. Now you remember we've studied the book of Daniel many times, and we remember that he had been shown all the world powers, all the political world powers from the time of King Nebuchadnezzar all the way to the end. He'd been shown that by vision. And then also the parenthesis that was in the time of the Gentile world powers was a revelation of the 70 weeks that are given to Israel, the time when God is dealing with the Jews during these 70 weeks of Daniel. And then we come up to the end of it, and Daniel is still baffled. What does all this mean? And so then verse 4, but thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book even to the time of the end. So therefore, those things that were mysterious. Now, the scholars and theologians have probed at the book of Daniel all through the years. And the first four kind of world powers, they're not hard to figure out, because Daniel chapter 7 and chapter 8 tell us who they are. It's the Babylons, the Medes and Persians, and the Greeks. But then the fourth kingdom is a mystery kingdom, which is not hard to figure out, because we know who the world power was at the time of Jesus, and that was Rome. But the mystery is that God said there'd be only four world powers all the way from King Nebuchadnezzar to the end. And so we want to say slip America in there as the superpower, not according to the Bible. The final world power was the Roman power. And so therefore, when we get over into Revelation chapter 13, we find the beast was wounded unto death, that was pagan Rome, and lived again, and that was papal Rome. And so we found that the anointing, the final world power, that anointing is on the Roman church. And so they are politically the power of the world. And so now let's read it again. But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words, seal the book, even to the time of the end. So there's one thing, the book is sealed till the time of the end. We're in the end, the seals have been broken. Are we together so far? Many shall run to and fro. Catch the picture now. It's a world travel, everywhere people are moving. And knowledge shall be increased. And now we're going to emphasize these points as we continue on. Now, still in chapter 12, go to verse 8. And I heard, but I understood not. Then said I, O Lord, what shall be the end of these things? And he said, Go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end. So now there's another re-emphasis that it's not going to be understood until the last days. Exactly the same way that the wheat and tares were planted at the same time, grew all the time, but at harvest time they became aware that there was two seeds planted. See, and here we are now at harvest time, rapture time. So now is the time when we become aware of where did the wheat come from, where did the tares come from, what are these things, what is our understanding? It's all been sealed up and probed at by the theologians through the years, but in the last days it says it will be opened. Verse 10, many shall be purified and made white and tried, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. So there's all of our symbolism now, sealed to the time of the end. We're at the time of the end. And so now the seals have been opened. The wise will understand. That means spiritually wise. It doesn't mean you've got a high IQ. It only means that God's opening your eyes, because all wisdom from God comes by revelation. Study the word, prayer, and revelation. God taking what you study and pray about. So now what sparked this for me was as I watched a DVD that I ordered from Hal Lindsey. How many recognize that name? Hal Lindsey. He was the author of The Late Great Planet Earth, which swept about 30 years ago, I think, and shook a lot of people to thinking about we're at the end time. And to be honest, I didn't go at it to see really what he had to say. I wanted to see if there was any ideas I could snitch for our television broadcast, just to see if maybe they were presenting in a way or doing something different that we could implement the ideas out of their presentation methods or the layout of their material or whether they use teleprompters or not, what kind of backgrounds did they use. But his subject was 1948, and he called it the hinge of history. And of course, he doesn't know the end time message has come. He doesn't know that. So there was many things that he probed at that he missed by a long ways, which you would, so would we all, without if God hadn't sent a prophet. And so, but in listening to him, it made me think about the many things we know from the message that all hinge around the very same thing. And then on top of that, he had a tremendous research team that pulled all kinds of material together that was just pretty amazing to me. And so I'm going to use some of his material, but scripturally we'll stick to what we know from the message. And so then there may be those sitting here or listening on the web that don't know this thing that we call the message or what the message presents. So my language would be a little bit more than to the local congregation, and that's why we've got the thing up there. If you've got any questions, ask me, and I'll may give you an answer. Maybe I'll just tell you, I don't know. But either way, I'll respond some way. And of course, for those of you who are good students, you may want to take a pencil and a paper and write down some of these things, because we're going to be covering quite a bit of data. Of course, as you know, in the message, we don't present theology or man-made learned or doctrines from some doctor of divinity. We try to stay with thus saith the Lord. And that makes this kind of an exclusive group that most people don't want to hear it that way, because they want to stick with their opinion. For me, I don't want my opinion. I want thus saith the Lord. So consequently, those things that have been lost through the ages have been lost mostly by the theologians and the doctors of divinity, because they've tried their best to put things together and just missed it completely in their trying. But it was sealed till the time of the end. So all the biblical signs tell us that we are in the final generation. And being in this final generation, we have to recognize a few things. God turned from the Jews to the Gentiles. And Scripture says he will turn one day from the Gentiles back to the Jews again. So therefore, this is not the grace period to the Jews. This, Paul says in Romans, they are blinded in part. That means a few Jews will come in, like our Gideon man spoke about Messianic Jews. A few will come in, but you could go preach your heart out in Israel, and you're not going to get much because God has blinded them. Their eyes will be opened by the two witnesses that are going to be sent to them, fulfilling Revelation chapter 11. So that's when God turns back to them. He has not turned back to them yet. So we're in a grace period of us Gentiles, and we'll look at just a few scriptures now. Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you, but seeing you put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. And then, for if the casting away of them, the Jews, be the reconciling of the world, what shall the receiving of them be but life from the dead? So they will be received back. And we see in the promises in the Old Testament. For I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part is happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. The fullness of the Gentiles is all the elect that are coming in through the seven church ages of Ephesus through Laodicea of Revelation chapter 2 and 3, as you know, as can be laid out through history. We're in the final age. So there, the blindness in part is there until God has finished dealing with the Gentiles. Now, remember, the scripture tells us that as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the Son of Man. So in our thinking there, as it was in the days of Noah, there was one voice. There was one message. There was one means of salvation. I'm going to word it maybe in the way you haven't heard it before. That one means of manifestation was the manifested word. God told Noah how to build the ark. That manifested became their salvation. And that's the same in every age. When God interprets his word by bringing it to pass, that's light when you see it, see? So consequently, it's always the same. Is the manifested word. So the ark itself was the manifested word. Excuse me, I got ahead of myself on that quote there. So one day, God closed the door to the ark. Noah didn't close the door. God closed the door. But you got to remember that God closed the door and nothing happened. The sun continued to come up. No clouds in the sky. No nothing. No judgment. No nothing for a full 7 days. And so will there be something great and visible that, oh, grace is finished? No, church will go right on. But what has happened? The last elected seed has heard and come in, taken their place in the body. The door closes. Judgment doesn't fall right away because then there's a little final preparations by God before he turns his full attention to the Jews. So this will repeat. One day the doors will close to us Gentiles. God will return his attention to Israel. This Bible prophecy, we read it in Luke 21. I want to make sure you understand it. You notice the last part of that, until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. So that time of the Gentiles, that's Luke 21, 24, we read that, goes from Babylon, King Nebuchadnezzar, to Mystery Babylon, of Revelation chapter 17. And so therefore, when King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon was in power, that was the beginning. When the power has returned to Mystery Babylon as a world power, and it will, then we know we're right in the very end of it. But everything is setting in order now, and that's what I want to talk about. So Daniel, in his prophetic utterances we read already, told us that in the last days, knowledge shall increase. So 1948 started as a turning point for the whole of mankind. The old order seemed to be changing as God was going to fulfill his end time prophecies. Technology, which through the ages had been taking little tiny baby steps, found its time in Scripture. And now you just look at the field of electronics or medicine or all kinds of, look in any field and everything is just leaping forward. It's not baby steps anymore. We talk about micro, macro, atomic, nuclear, ions, quarks, cloning, all kinds of things that were just unknown previously. Why? Knowledge shall increase. So as we go into our knowledge increasing, here's something Brother Branham said about it. You can read it with me. Oh, my friends, listen to thus saith the Lord. Now remember, this is a prophet speaking. If you consider me to be his servant, it's just before the break of day. That's why this horrible gloom is over the earth. It's just before the coming of the Lord Jesus. There's no more hope left for nothing but his coming. Nations are against nations, and they have fooled around in God's laboratory until they've got the power to blow one another into atomic ashes. And they're wicked, and they're unreligious, and they're unchristlike. And the only motive they have and objective is to destroy. Listen to this. And they are inspired by the destroying angel that was sent from heaven to inspire these men. So consequently, why? When God sends grace by sending a message from heaven, when the people reject the message, there's nothing left but judgment. So therefore, then how does God bring judgment? He brings it man, brings it on man through man. But he anoints somebody to do that. You've probably heard this joke, so pardon me for repeating an old joke, but this here is talking about knowledge shall increase and science getting along further. You remember the scientist that challenged God and says, anything you can do, we can do. And he says, you really think so? And he says, yes. And God says, okay, let's go. And he says, all right. And so God reaches down, scoops up some earth, says, are you ready? And the scientist says, ready. And he reaches down and scoops up some earth, and God says, get your own earth. Another quote. Now, do you believe the world will be destroyed by fire at his coming? Bible said so. The whole heavens and earth will be on fire. Men will do it themselves because God destroys nothing. Man destroys himself by his knowledge, his shrewdness, his education. Always has done it. Created gunpowder, created atomic bombs, automobiles, and that's what kills. Now notice, he'll destroy the whole world by his own knowledge, the tree of the knowledge that he left the tree of life to eat off the tree of knowledge. And see, science has been climbing it ever since. So knowledge shall increase. We'll touch on that in a moment. Now, this last generation is unique. And all these things, you know, have an alpha and omega, beginning and end, and they repeat beginning and the end. So consequently, just as Eve gave birth to the twins of Cain and Abel, we find out through that super fecundation, you know about that, gave birth to these twins, then out of the church is going to come twins also, because out of the church is going to come the bride of Christ and the Antichrist. Both are going to be coming out in this last day. Both will be produced from that Eve, we'll call her, the true church. Now the Antichrist, he has certain things that he must fulfill. So we have to watch. Now remember, we're setting things in order. The Antichrist's absolute dominion is for 3.5 years. Read about that in Revelations 13. And so for absolute dominion, he has to have a system of world government. He has to have a system of global economy, and there'd be one voice in religious affairs. So we have to watch now as these powers are being gathered together for Antichrist to fulfill his role in Scripture. You might say, well, we're going to pray against that. You know, if God said it's going to happen, it's going to happen. So all we have to do is just prepare ourselves to be ready to flow with it. So if we're as close to the end as we say that we are, we should see all three of these things either already set up or moving into place so that the Antichrist can just step onto that throne and take his control. And it did not all start in 1948, but much of it did. And if we, as God worked in a trinity, we find that the Antichrist has a triple anointing also. So the two powers work in threes. And so he has to have a religious anointing, a political anointing. And now we can take this through the Scripture and show you that they're there. But his final anointing, we have to know where it's coming from, and it's demon powers. It's not God at all. But God, as you know, if you trace it through the Scripture, you know that God can use the devil as a tool in his hands for the preparing, equipping of the saints, testing and trying the saints. So this will be a church world power tied to a government, political, and empowered by the devil. There's a lot of places that is depicted, but in Revelation chapter 13 and 17, you can find all three of them right there. Now you heard me right when I said earlier that what we're preaching is thus saith the Lord. So it's not learned study. So you have to listen with a different set of ears instead of, well, I don't know whether I agree with that or not. If you don't agree, then you better ask me, because I'll show you where it's thus saith the Lord. Now the Bible is full of types and shadows, words that are hard to understand and much of it almost seems cryptic. There's all kinds of terrible answers. Excuse me, here we're going to bring up the questions again. Excuse me, I forgot I had that one up there. So all these cryptic things that take place. So we see all kinds of images and animals and lions and bears and leopards and one-horned goats and two-horned goats and horse riders. All of these things, people with swords coming out of their mouth and on and on and on. That it's almost like it's you just can't hardly grasp what's going on, but nevertheless, there it is. They're all written there, but they all mean something. It isn't somebody had a nightmare. They all mean something. But we have a promise of an unfolding in the end time. Okay, the seventh star in the right hand of Jesus, Revelations 1:20. Seventh star in the right hand of Jesus, the last of the seven church ages, which is Laodicea. Revelation 3:14, under the angel of the church of Laodicea, write. And then, so now there's our angel, the seventh, the Laodicean age is the seventh church age, so that's the seventh angel. And in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, the mystery of God should be finished. So therefore, this messenger, this angel, we know was a man. It wasn't every age of angel to the church of Ephesus was the Apostle Paul who pastored the church of Ephesus. We just go right on down through time. The ones we recognize are Luther and Wesley and how they were messengers to their age with the restoring justification, sanctification, and so on. And so this final messenger to the final age then, he has to gather all the previous truths of all the ages and then unveil those things that were sealed till the time of the end. That's his ministry. So that ministry to us who know that is historic already. And we're studying what that message has brought to us to open up the messages at the end time. So that messenger, of course, was William Branham. And as he declared that, is the messenger of the seventh angel. His ministry was so much like Christ because it was Christ working through the man that his ministry fulfilled Luke 17:30, the revealing of the Son of Man. Luke 17:30 says, as it was in the days of Lot, so will it be in the days of the revealing of the Son of Man. Doesn't say the coming. That's what most of your theologians say. The coming. They say the coming of Jesus. It didn't say that. It said the revealing of the Son of Man. And it used the term Son of Man because Jesus referred to himself as Son of Man because he was the God prophet to the age, fulfilling the words of Moses who said, the Lord your God will raise up a prophet likened unto me. Is that right? And that's the term God used for Ezekiel and some of the other prophets. He says, oh, Son of Man, right, Son of Man, prophesy. So God called the prophets. So we had to have a revealing of the Son of Man, Christ, through a prophet again. He was not the Son of Man, but he was revealing the Son of Man. So then in referring to, you can see it on the screen up there, in referring to Leviticus 23 and the wave sheaf offering, here's some comments Brother Branham says about it. There's the sermon, and here's what he has to say about it. Remember now, the Alpha Omega principle, we put a seed in the ground, it goes through a process to get back to seed again. Put a corn of wheat in the ground. Goes through a process. But at harvest time, it's a replication in many fold of the single that went into the ground. It's important that you remember that. And so then the church ages that we've been going through, Ephesus, Smyrna, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, Pergamos, all of those that we've been going through, they were the process from the time of Christ, the original seed, the book of Acts, the seed church, going through the church as the carrier of life, but not a full manifestation of the life until we get to the end time again, and then comes the full manifestation again. And that's the revealing of the Son of Man. If there would be any holy ritual, it should come forth on the Sabbath day. He's speaking now of the wave sheaf offering, which is the seventh day in the week, which is Saturday. But did you notice in this memorial, to wave it on the first day of the week. Of course, that would be Sunday. The sheaf, which was the first of your seed that you planted, when it comes up and ripens, you cut down this sheaf, take it to the priest, and let him wave it, take it and wave it before the Lord, for your acceptance, that you are accepted. Now, remember when the wave sheaf offering, the original wave sheaf offering, was the resurrected life of Jesus Christ coming up, which proved to us that God had received the sacrifice. Is that right? Why was he sacrificed? For our acceptance. See, because he was the original wave sheaf offering. You come with your sheaf, and he's to wave it before the Lord, not on the Sabbath, the seventh day, but on the first day, which we call Sunday, S-U-N-D-A-Y. Of course, that's a Roman word, which they called it the Sunday for the sun god, but how it's changed, it's not S-U-N anymore, it's S-O-N day, the Sunday, that the corn of wheat, God's first one, up from the dead, is to be waved over the congregation that we are his seed. And that's the first of the seed of those that slept, waved upon the first day of the week. On Sunday, he raised up, waved goodbye, ascended up on high in the presence of those people. Now notice, it was the first corn of God's wheat that had been raised from the dead. God's first corn of wheat, by God's quickening power, God had quickened his life, raised him up from the dead, and he was the first fruits of those that slept. First fruit. He was that sheaf. That's why they had to wave that sheaf, for it was the first one that come to maturity, and it was waved as a memorial of God, a memorial of thanksgiving to God, believing the rest of them would come. Okay? Now I'm going to read a little bit more and then go back. This is on the same quote. And it was a sign, and today, because he was the first son of God to come to full maturity, he was plucked up from the earth, waved over the people by the quickening power. That first one, although he had been typed in many places, as we'll see later, he was typed. But this is really the first fruit of them that slept. He was waved over the promised seed that had promise of life. He was waved at the day of Pentecost, when there came a sound from heaven like a waving, mighty, rushing wind, waved over the people, and the Pentecostal people that was up and at Pentecost waiting for the blessing to come to be waved again. We realize in the last day, according to Luke 17:30, in the sun day again, in the days that the S-O-N of man will be revealed or waved over the people again. Now, who is this Son of Man? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And of all the teaching that we have in confirmation of the Word of God, by the Word of God, by signs, by wonders, we see today that in the book of Luke here that we just read, Luke 17, chapter 30th verse, and Malachi 4, in different scriptures that we are acquainted with, that the Word again is waved over the people, that the dead traditions of man is dead, and the Son of God is alive again with the baptism of the Holy Spirit right among us and giving his life. So now you know the message, you understand that fully, exactly what God has done in this day, in this manifestation. So as we look at all these signs and symbols and wonders, you could wonder, Once you begin to know the signs and symbols, and then they begin to be like reading a newspaper, and the whole of what's going on in mankind around us begins to speak. The Bible speaks of wars, and both among nations and ethnic groups. He has spoke of unusual weather, plagues that would be incurable, an increase of earthquakes striking in the populated places. And as we mentioned, the Bible speaks of a single power taking over the world's political system, taking over the world's religious, and taking over the world's monetary systems. And so we know that has to be setting in place. Now, as we speak today, well, I hope we can get far enough along to show you how these things are being set in order for the Antichrist. And so then many of the prophecies of the Old Testament were validated verbally by Jesus, and he referred like to the prophecy, he said, and the prophet Daniel said, and he quotes in Matthew 24:15, that you shall see the abomination of desolation spoken by the prophet Daniel, standing in the holy place. And so these things there, that Jesus has confirmed himself that you can go back to the word of the Old Testament and use it. It's not a past book. So in Daniel 12, 8 to 9, and I heard it, but I understood not. And then said I, O Lord, what shall be the end of these things? And he said, go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end. So now in the New Testament, Jesus sent a prophet, an angel, to John to unveil the mysteries that were, well, I should say, to write the mysteries that are in the book of Revelation. And so that scripture there is telling you that Jesus sent an angel to John, all right? And then when we study on, just jumping further, we find that I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these things. Then saith he unto me, see thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant and thy brethren the prophets, and of them which keep the saying. So the angel was a prophet. It wasn't a fellow with wings on his back. He was a messenger from God. That's what the word angel means. He was a messenger from God, and he was sent to John. And if you remember, John in chapter 1, he says, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. That's the day of the judgment, the wrath of God. It's not Sunday. It's the day of the wrath of God. And so therefore, he was transported forward into the area of time that's being set in order right now. So therefore, John typed an unveiling that was to happen just prior to the day of the wrath of God, just exactly like it's repeating in our day. Send an angel to John, send an angel to this last generation. So the two are running exactly hand in hand. Now, according to Strong's Concordance, in the word revelation or apocalypse, the word apocalypse means a laying bare, a making naked, a disclosure of truth, instruction concerning things before unknown, used of events by which things or states or persons hitherto withdrawn from view are made visible to all, can't read it, to all manifestation and appearance. So if you remember reading in the Church Age book and other places, the description of the apocalypse, the unveiling, is a sculptor has been working on his statuary for weeks and weeks, months and months, years and years. Now he's going to unveil it to the public. And so he invites the public, he invites the press, and he's got his masterpiece under a great canvas. And then he talks about what he had in mind and what he's doing and what he was trying to convey with this great image. And then finally, he pulls off the canvas. That's the unveiling of that which already was. That's the apocalypse. And that's what God has done in this day. He's been working on his masterpiece, the Bride of Christ, all through these ages. And now he's pulled back the curtain to show us how he's been doing it. What the chisel wax word that everybody thought hurt so much, he was only shaping a people into the image of Christ. Amen. I want to skip a little bit because I want to. Restoration of Israel took place on May 14th, 1948. And then so all biblical events usually seem to fade one into another rather than an abrupt change, because usually God sets the scene and then brings things to pass. Revelation chapter 1 sets the scene for the seven church ages. Revelation chapter 5 sets the scene for the unveiling of the seven seals in chapter 6. So all these things always set a scene. So we follow this prophecy, and then we watch now when God says, behold the fig tree and all the trees. And then Luke 21, now when they shoot forth, know that summer is nigh. So consequently now, many of these events that are taking place here at this last time, all these events, God said that they're going to come in mass multitude right here in the last days, of good things, bad things, because why? Every tree is coming to fullness. Every tree is coming. So it's going to be, whether it's going to be in the bad or in the good, makes no difference. All these things are going to come into fruition in these days. And then it says, verily, verily, I say unto you that this generation shall not pass till all be fulfilled. So I'm the generation that saw World War I. Most of that generation is past. The generation that saw World War II, well, I'm one of those. There's many of us here that saw World War II. The generation that saw the Korean War. Well, I saw that, and many of you saw that. But the generation that saw Israel become a nation, Scripture says, will not pass. So therefore, we've got a time frame when everything has to be being set in order. And God says that the whole thing will come to pass. It'll all be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. So as we read about in Daniel, I think I've got that scripture here. Yeah, but thou, Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book till the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. Of course, at the time of Daniel, the horse and the buggy was the means of conveyance. There just was no other way. That was it. That was the rapid transit system of the day. What was that? And then so for centuries, they rode the horse and the buggy. And then all of a sudden, we began to take a leap then from the ox cart into traveling across the United States. What used to take months and months and months, and now get on an airplane and zip, and you're there. It used to be when Jeff's mentioned this story to you before, but my grandmother, who died at 93 years old many years ago, was telling us that she and her family made a trip in an ox cart from Kansas down into Texas. Took them 6 months, and the trip was so hard that one of the daughters died along the way. And now it's just a few hours' drive. And here we talk about crossing the United States. Can you imagine doing that in an ox cart or a wagon train? Months and months and months of struggle. And now if you don't press too hard, you can drive it in a car on a freeway in 4 days. And then an airplane, just a few hours. What's happening? You saw the crowded airport terminal. Men running to and fro. Knowledge shall increase. So it's not just scientific advancements. It's God saying we're at the end. Amen. This is the windup. Daniel also told us, many shall be purified and made white and tried, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. Why is it going this way? Because the churches have rejected the word of God, basically. They're making the same mistake the Jews made. They're holding to tradition and not moving with the light, not moving with the unveiling of the word. They're looking to the Jesus of history, which we do too, but they're missing the Jesus of today. He is the living word. See? It says, any spirit that confesses not that Jesus is come in the flesh is Antichrist. Not was came in the flesh, is come in the flesh. So now today you have to be careful when you speak of morality or against abortion or against unwed mothers or men marrying men. Evolution is taught as seeming fact. Creation is laughed at by many because that would mean that there really is a God and that government now steps over the word of God to tell you what's moral and what's not moral. But Jehovah God set prophecy as the one standard by which he makes himself known. So which he rises above all the other gods. And he says, remember the former things of old, for I am God and there is none else. I am God and there is none like me. Declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times, the things that are not yet. That's prophecy. Saying, my counsel shall stand and I will do my pleasure. That's our God. And we can rest in that. If the word of God tells us there's a persecution coming on the saints, you shouldn't fear it. Amen. It's part of the plan of God. And he always watches over his children. He prepares you when the enemy comes in like a flood. God raises up a standard against it. So all he's doing is forewarning us. Is it coming? Yes, it's coming. What's going to happen? I haven't the slightest idea, but God will take care of us. Whatever way. So when man was attempting to reach the moon, Brother Branham says they may get there, but they won't find anything. Now, why would he say that? Earth? Because God gave earth to us. He didn't give the whole of heavens. Our domain is earth. So we're not going to find anything we can use out there. So when man starts to go out there, Brother Branham says, in natural achievement, they're taking off to the moon. In spiritual achievement, we're taking off to the heavens. Amen. The natural astronauts trying to find him a place on the moon. We've done already got a place in heaven. In my Father's house are many mansions. I'll go and prepare a place for you and send an astronaut back to get you. Countdown is on. Do you believe it? Amen. Countdown. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. The fire's beginning to spread. The ministry's crowned in glory. Hallelujah. And the old rocket begins to take off, not pointed toward the moon, but pointed towards glory. Yes, yonder she is. The fire of God is spreading, the power of the Holy Ghost, lifting her up beyond the moon and stars and beyond anything that could ever be achieved by man. The church will take her flight into the bosoms of God in heaven one of these mornings, friends. And the man that has been able to achieve what they have been able to achieve by their natural things, God has typed it and is doing it in the spiritual. Amen. Hallelujah. Another one on the same subject, Brother Branham says, and they've hollered here, Russia did not long ago, about having a man in space, had the first man in space. He says, how ridiculous. He says, we've had one in space for 2,000 years. And the 1 Corinthians 4, 1 and 5, Paul talks about being judged by man in man's day. And now, of course, man's day means that the works and knowledge of man is being glorified. And so then Brother Branham comments on that again. He says, somebody try and get somebody to the moon. God's trying to get somebody to heaven. See, but look how they're spending millions, billions, trillions of dollars in a wasted effort. When they get there, they ain't going to find nothing. What's the matter with them? I don't care about the moon. I want to pass the moon so fast I won't even see it. Just keep going higher. I want to go past the Milky Way, the White Way, and just go on. Just keep going. Yes, sir. Amen. So travel has so made our world shrink. And the internet, if I get on the internet here and make a contact with a server in Dayton, I am no closer than somebody that's sitting in Africa or the Philippines, because of why the internet has shrunk the world and just pulled us all right together into one little package. Remember, the scripture says knowledge shall increase. And so man now with crossing the Atlantic by an airplane there, and then look at by the end of just World War II, how much they'd changed from the beginning of the war to the end of the war, just bang. Bang, just no comparison going from propeller aircraft to jet aircraft. Why? Knowledge shall increase. The pressurized Enola Gay dropped an atomic bomb from 30,000 feet. Both were unheard of years before, that either they could go that high or drop that kind of bomb. And then radio is being rapidly replaced by, was being rapidly replaced by the black and white television. What families used to gather around, now they gather around something else. And then when they moved from the tube, to the transistor, then the move that took place, the invasion took place in 1948. And so that allowed them, the tubes burned too hot, they couldn't make a small computer. So when the transistor took place, it shrunk it right on down where we can get into the personal computer then, in our age, and all done by the transistor, invented by Bell Labs, 1948. So we see the fig tree, as all the others said. And since the development of the personal computer, they say the speed and power of these little electronic wonders doubles every 18 months. And so the knowledge shall increase, just increasing, increasing, increasing. I hear reports that of everything invented, 98% was invented in the 20th century. Everything invented from time clear on up to now, 98% of it was in the 20th century. Why? Because God said, in the last days, knowledge shall be increased. And man is more feeding off the tree of the knowledge of good and evil in these last days than they ever were before. They were all trying to live by the tree of life prior to that. Now, on the other side of the coin, Daniel also prophesied, we gave it to you before, many shall be purified and made white and tried, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. So the same thing is repeated in Scripture. It says, he that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. So it isn't personal wisdom. It isn't your own IQ, as I said before. God instructs, John chapter 6, God instructs his children. Upon this rock, the revelation of Christ, given by the Father, I'll build my church. And so then the churches now, Revelation 3:20 says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. He that will open to me, I'll come into him and sup with him. Stand at the door. He's standing at the church door, knocking. Why? It's the Laodicean age, last age. The word has been put out. You say, oh, no, they haven't. We talk about Jesus. We talk about Calvary. We talk about the cross. But do you talk about end time scripture that's been fulfilled? Do you recognize what God has done in this day to fulfill scripture? There's nothing wrong with history. We believe that. But if you're not catching the I am, the life and the blood is found in the I am, not the I was. John 1:7, we must walk in the light as he is in the light. Then we have fellowship with God, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. We have to walk in the light that he's in when he's doing it. In 1945, Harry Truman gave the authority to use the atomic bomb, of course, over in Hiroshima. And of course, that set the stage at that time for America to be the obvious super world power. And then Russia, this is after now that wound up World War II, but Russia now to show her determination and resolve to not be left behind in this struggle for world power, they immediately erected the Berlin Wall to symbolize that, hey, we've got a power of our own. You're not going to come in there. So to show her resolve, she set up the Berlin Wall. We retaliated with the Berlin airlift and was running stuff back and forth by air anyway. But anyway, that's what started what we call the Cold War. And if there ever was a fulfillment of scripture that there shall be wars and rumors of wars, it was the Cold War. There was continual threat. The Russians, we talked to them when we visited over there, and they were, I took some of the Russian brothers down by Indian Lake. And if you know, what used to be the nice little cabins along the lake are absolute shacks now. And so as we were driving along, I said, that stuff ought to be torn down and rebuilt. And he spoke back to me and he says, that's the kind of pictures we were shown that all Americans live like that. He said, and then he showed me other things that were just bad, bad. And they said, that's the way it is in America. He said he never showed us these nice places, you know. So that propaganda. But what was it? They were under the threat. We were going to attack them. We were under the threat. They're going to attack us. Wars. Rumors of wars. In 1948, Holland, Luxembourg, and Belgium joined into a treaty that was called the Benelux Treaty, because they thought if they could join together, there would be no more wars. Now, this is 1948. By 1957, another group of European nations gathered together in a called the Treaty of Rome, and that included Italy, Western Germany, and Britain. And then those two began to merge, and that formed the present-day EEC, the European Economic Community. So it doesn't take much imagination to see how this world political power is developing. When did it start? 1948. In 1956, America rejected the word. You remember that? Because the churches had no concept about God's Jubilee years. And so 1906 was a Jubilee year when the outpouring of the Holy Ghost came on Azusa Street. And then 1956 was the next 50-year Jubilee, next Jubilee year. And you remember Brother Branham says, this is America's chance to receive the gospel, but I predict she'll reject. And then in 1957, he said, thus saith the Lord, America as a nation has rejected the gospel. He says, you watch her from here on out. Morality and everything, he says, will slowly crumble. He says, no, I take that back. Rapidly crumble from this place on out. He says, why? Because God is lifting his hand from America. In 1963, the seven seals were opened, but at the same year, prayer was put out of the schools. And you've seen me teach on 1963, another turning point, and how that the chart showed that the year they put, if you just watch the government charts, just watch the charts, the year they put prayer out of school and kept it away from the kids, instantly on the charts, out of birth wedlocks went up, crime went up, sexually transmitted disease went up, everything that was wrong skyrocketed, and school scores and records went right back down. I also mentioned to you, I think a few years later, they went back up again. And I thought, whoa, what happened here? And I found out they were taking the homeschool grades and putting them in with the public school grades to make the public schools look better. Yeah. So then psychology training for the children replaced Bible standards. To spank a child was ranked with abuse. And the Bible says, spare the rod and spoil the child. Used to be that the fella on your left up there, you know, that was a school teacher and they used to keep discipline in the class. Now they can't do that. Forbidden. Can't do those things. But what's happened to the generation of kids because they're not corrected? Leave a child to himself, he'll choose wrong every time. Leave a child to himself, he'll go evil. He will. Because why? Of our fallen nature. It's our fallen nature. We have to be corrected. We have to be led. So civilizations change, cultures change, but the human nature does not change. That's exactly why God's Bible is the ultimate in how to rear children, because human nature does not change. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knows our frame. He remembers that we are but dust. Amen. Government paid counselors on every level, and I've talked to several of them, they are told that they, in anything they minister, teach, or guide the people, they must remain gender neutral and values neutral. They cannot talk to the people they counsel regarding what is moral or not moral. They are outlawed from doing that. Now you know why our kids and our families are going the direction they're going. 1966 credits the beginning of mass murders. There was a fellow named Richard Speck. Anybody remember that name? Richard Speck. Few hands went up. He went into a student nurse's home and murdered 9 student nurses, and it was just shockwaves went across America. We'd never had anything like that before. But at the same year, the Palestinians started their terrorist movements, hijacking airplanes and all that. So it all began in 1966. Now, of course, then it was shocking. Now it's just all too common. All too common. Why? Because God is lifting his hand of mercy from this nation. The churches won't go on with the word of God. I was reading about the World Council of Churches, and most of what they're talking about has nothing to do with Jesus and salvation in the Bible. It's almost all politics. Almost all politics. God speaking in 2 Samuel 7:14, I will be his father, and he shall be my son. If he commit iniquity, I will chasten him with the rod of men and with the stripes of the children of men. So when we go wrong, you can expect others to rise up against us, and God is going to use some other human as your form of chastisement. God uses man to chastise man. Of course, all of these things that are going on in the world now, the terrorism and all these things, they're creating a mindset for the people to cry peace. That'll fulfill scripture. And then being against anything that seems to be a threat to peace will be the in vogue thing, which will all end up, listen close, which will all end up in blame the Christians. Because they won't cooperate with what we're trying to do. I mean, we should stay out of what's moral and not moral. We shouldn't this, we shouldn't that. And all we're trying to do is say, hey, if you want eternal life, God has some guidelines, but they don't want to hear it. Don't tell me. See, don't tell me. So now, I was studying several years ago, the fall of the Roman Empire. And that was exactly what there was. Their vogue was, if anything went wrong, blame the Christians, blame the Christians. So it'll repeat again. So all of this is setting up for a one world government and also setting the whole of mankind up for the tribulations. Put God out of a society and the natural, unregenerate man will rise and control both individuals and nations. Absolutely. So our path is not new, it is only new to us. It has happened in centuries before us, and it will happen again. This was written by Noah Webster, the one that wrote the dictionary. Humanity is governed either by power within them or by a power without them, either by the word of God or by the strong arm of man, either by the Bible or by the bayonet. Look what America has chosen without realizing it. So we see prophecies all around us aimed at this end time, but how far are we along the path? If you're on a roadmap and you're trying to read a roadmap, you need to know two things. Where am I and where am I going? Otherwise, the map means absolutely nothing to you. Where am I and where am I going? That's what we're going to pick up on next session. We'll close it out right there. If I continue on, I'll keep you way, way, way too long. We'll bring out the roadmap next time. Not Bush's roadmap, but another roadmap. Let's pray. Musicians, you can come on up. Heavenly Father, we love you so much. Eyes to see and ears to hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. That's all we want, Lord. We know that if we can receive that and walk in that, everything else will fall into its place. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All the other things will fall into place. You've got promises to us, Lord, that if we'll acknowledge you in all of our ways, you'll direct our steps. God, your Bible is full of words of encouragement and how we can walk. And God, I'd just like to pause just a moment to let individuals think. I don't know where everybody is that's sitting out in the congregation. But I'm hoping that a new awareness of where we are in time has begun to settle in on you. That it isn't like we've got a whole life to fritter away. We've got an eternity to prepare for, and we may not have very much time. Just for the Lord, who'd like to raise a hand to the Lord and say, you know, I became more aware this morning of where we are. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Thank you for all the hands. Thank you. Lord Jesus, may the reality of where we are on your great roadmap settle in. And may it come even clearer in our next session. May we take life, this precious gift of life that we have, seriously, Lord. This one thing that we have that's given to us every day that we must spend, or it's gone and we can never use it again, and that's time. We're only given just so many hours in the day. May we spend it wisely. For the bank account is emptied out at midnight each night, yet refilled again with another time. Lord, I thank you for the joy of salvation. In Jesus' name, amen. The old favorite, I want to be what he wants me to be. I want to live just the way that he wants me to live. I want to until there's just no more to give. I want to love, love till there's just no more love. For I could never, ever outlove the Lord. Sing it again. One of the few. I am one of the few. One of the few, and my faith in God's word I can claim it. Though the way may seem long, though the opposition's strong, for the bride there's a way. For
us to hope will not be our nest. Be firmly beside him to follow the Lord by obeying his word and believe that I'm one of the few. Let's stand.
I'm going to dismiss you. We're going to have one more word of prayer, and I'm going to just go ahead and dismiss you. I won't be leading any more songs. I won't be calling up the song leader. We've got this key holder meeting coming up, and rather than keep everybody real long, I'm just going to call it to a halt. And this wasn't the kind of service that you get much altar response out of anyways. A little different. I told you it would be different. And so give me feedback on what this kind of thing does or doesn't do for you. Because that's the first time I've used all the video clips and stuff like that, so it's kind of new. Praise the Lord. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, the word that's gone out is committed into our hearts, Lord, committed into each heart. And God, may your word will not return to you void. And God, I just pray we can see that we're at the end and that you began drawing the curtain on time. In 1948, when Israel became a nation, Lord, the curtain is slowly closing on us Gentiles, Lord, and the light is diminishing, Lord, as you draw the curtains on us and that about to reopen the curtains, the true church will go into rapture, and the church lukewarm will remain for the tribulation, and you turn your attention to the Jews, and there'll be a glorious revival for 144,000 in Israel. God, it's all just imminent. It's right upon us. Amen. And God, what an age to be in, to watch the windup of all things. Be with us, Lord. Keep us safe. Gather us back together again next week on Wednesday. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You're dismissed, saints. You're dismissed.